Chapter 3, A Second Hard Lesson. Hearing them coming home in the distance, Milka flies open the front door and briskly runs toward Zophar and the rabbi, unaware she is still holding a soup ladle. "Welcome home! Welcome home!" she excitedly shouts. Zophar sees the ladle in Milka's hand and remembers the rabbi's prayer. Before he even thinks about greeting his grandmother, he blurts out in amazement, "Are we eating soup, Grandma? Are we eating soup?" Surprised by the snappy inquisition, she answers, "How'd you know?" Zophar looks at the rabbi, and the rabbi looks back with a big smile, and they both reach out toward Milka to give her a long, glad-to-be-home hug. Still hugging Milka, Zophar remembers the other reason he was glad to be home, let go, and headed for the barn. No one had to tell Milka and the rabbi where Zophar was going. They headed to the house while he, almost running, made his way to the barn. "Whitey! Whitey!" Zophar called out. And, as if he knew his own name, Whitey came running to him. It seemed to Zophar that Whitey missed him as much as he missed Whitey. "Hey, fella, how you been?" Zophar asked. Now, trying to sound important, he continued, "The rabbi and I went together on a special trip. We went to the Promised Land to worship Jehovah." Whitey bleated to all his words, making Zophar happy, pretending he was answering him back. "And the rabbi knew that Grandma was going to serve soup, too," Zophar informed Whitey. After a long time of loving his treasured friend, Zophar thought it best to get back home before Milka called him. As he began walking toward the house, Zophar got louder and louder as he was saying goodnight to Whitey. "I gotta eat some of Grandma's soup, you know, but I'll see you tomorrow. I love you." Making it home in record time and throwing the front door open, Zophar, unlike before, was ready for the tub of warm water that was waiting for him. "I knew it," he said. But this time, without anyone asking, he slipped off his traveling clothes and climbed slowly into the tub of suds he formerly disdained and feared. He was surprised that no one from the back room came out to check on him. "I guess I'm getting older," he thought, with aplomb. After a few good minutes of bathing, when he thought he was clean enough for the likes of him anyway, he got out and got dressed with the clothes that were neatly folded on the rabbi's table next to the tub. By chance, under some parchments on the table, he saw something shiny that caught his eye. "No one's around," he thought, peeking again under the parchments he later realized were scripture portions. Now, under conviction for meddling where he didn't belong, Zophar hurried to unveil what those scriptures covered. "Wow," he thought, "I never saw so many coins in my life. This must be all the money in Jerusalem and then some." After gazing a bit at them, he reasoned, "There is so much here. The rabbi wouldn't miss just a few coins. I'm his grandson," he continued. "He'd want me to have some too, wouldn't he?" And just as quickly as those thoughts came to his mind, his hands wily snatched up four coins, slipping them into a little pocket Milka had recently sewed for him on his tunic. Hearing the rabbi and Milka emerging from the back room, he immediately recovered the coins with the scripture portions, calling out, "All done!" to make them think he had just gotten out of the tub. "Are you dressed, so?" Milka called out. "Dressed?" he replied. "Oh, yeah, I'm all done." Knowing her little grandson must be famished by now and making her way to the kitchen, Milka calls out, "Zo, come sit here while I ladle you out some soup." Zophar walks toward the table, all the while watching the rabbi putting the coins into a pouch about the size of his fist. Zophar thinks that he should cover his tracks by calling to the rabbi from across the room. "What you doing, Grandpa?" The rabbi answered, "That's the first time you called me Grandpa. Is there something wrong?" "No, no, Rabbi," Zophar replies. "I just wanted to know what you were doing." The rabbi answers him by saying, "This is the money I received for bringing sacrifices to the temple to offer up to Jehovah." Ridden full of guilt, Zophar now realizes why the rabbi met with a high priest at Jerusalem. Holding his bowl mid-air, he carefully watched the rabbi slide each and every coin into the bag until the last coin made it in. He was hoping the rabbi wouldn't count them and was glad when it was tied. Suddenly, Zophar remembered that he owed the rabbi a response to his last statement. To deflect any concern he might have for suspecting any missing coins, Zophar answers nonchalantly, "That's nice, Rabbi. That's nice." Milcah blurts out to Zophar, "Eat your soup before it gets cold. Tomorrow is the Sabbath, and we need to rest in order to be ready to tell everyone what great things the Lord has done for us." "The soup is good, Grandma," Zophar says to Milcah, rushing to get done so he can confide in Whitey about his dilemma before bedtime is called. Finding himself in the barn, Zophar says to Whitey, "First, I lied to Grandma, and now I stole money from the rabbi, money that came from Jehovah." Looking down on the ground, he continues, "My heart hurts, Whitey, and I don't know what to do. I never meant to hurt him, and here I am, full of sin." That's what the rabbi calls it, anyway. He said if we break the law of Moses in one point, we have broken it all. How can I get forgiveness, especially since I stole sacrificial money? All of a sudden, Whitey looks up to the sky. Zophar responds by saying, "You're right, Whitey. Jehovah will come help me learn how to get forgiveness. I feel so bad in my heart. I. Just then, Milcah calls out from the farmhouse doorway, "Zophar! Zophar, it's time for bed." Deeply under conviction for the coins he has slipped into his pocket, Zophar begins one by one to pull them out, attempting the best he could, given the brevity of time, to hide them under Whitey's water trough. "I wish I never took them," he blurted out. "I hate this." Rising up from the ground and recomposing himself so Milcah doesn't suspect anything, he says, "Good night, my friend. Remember to pray for me." And, as if to say, "I will," Whitey bleated.